Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient. Now in a pill. And now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Cavaliers acquiring Peyton Watson, which immediately the jokes came in. Hey, a Cleveland jersey that people are going to buy with Watson on the back of it. I admittedly, he plays for Denver. It's a good story. He's a 30th pick. He's worked his way up. They had a great season last season. They're going to pay him $88 million. There's some questions about the Cam Whitmore part of this. Meredith addressed it in the update a little bit. You've addressed it off the air a little bit. What's going on there with that part of it before we set sail on this, Tone?
Oh, it's just like for the second time in a few days. It's like, Trey, man, get excited. Watch all the highlights. Have a take on it. He's actually not going to be a Cavalier. Cam Whitmore, go look at some highlights. Have a take on him. Oh, could he be? He's not going to be a Cavalier. You just got to wait, unfortunately. And that's what we've been waiting. That's what all Cavs fans have been waiting for, the official pivot from LeBron James. And here we are, the consolation prize for not getting LeBron James. They've been working, honestly, they've been working a bunch on trying to get this solidified. They just had to wait for other things to get ironed out.
By the way, how old is too old to be staying home for the first day of your kid's school? That coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. 216-474-0092, because there's a discrepancy. Not with our station. No. But in the hallways of the Fan this morning, there is rumor abound and a lot of grumbling going on. The locker room in this building, not happy today over first days of school. That coming up at 8 o'clock. Mary Kay coming up at 8:20. So this is what I don't want to do. I don't know much about Peyton Watson, Tone. Like, I want you to educate me more. All right?
By the way, most people out here probably haven't been paying much attention to him at all, except that it became a national story that their owner, Stan Kroenke, just has not wanted to exceed any of the aprons, has not wanted to, you know, go into much of a luxury tax, and wasn't willing to pay to keep players around their all-time great player and championship player in Jokic.
Hey, so you guys don't want to talk about it. I think it might rear its ugly head. It's a Jokic thing. Cavs Conversations brought to you by Surfside Hard Iced Tea. They ask you to please drink that Surfside Hard Iced Tea responsibly. 6:26 and 19 seconds for those scoring at home. I told you that Greek team went after Nikola Jokic, and I thought of him yesterday when we were having that NFL in Europe thing. Like, if you're from Bessemer, Alabama, why do you want to live in London, England? Other than you, like, if you're 20 years old, because like we would look at Nikola Jokic from Serbia and be like, why would you want to go back there? You're in America. This is the greatest country in the history of civilization. What do you? He likes to go back. He doesn't really like being over here that much. He's a homebody. And you're thinking, well, it's like an hour flight, it seems, from Greece to Serbia, where he's from. It might be a lot easier, but I mean, that's a conversation for a different day. Stan Kroenke doesn't make it any better. I just want to plant a seed.
I think every NBA team is now wondering how they can get Jokic.
Well, that's it. But I just want to plant a seed is all I want to do about that. So I'm going to plant the seed. I'm going to cover it up, and that's the way it goes. Just pay attention to the Nikola Jokic stuff over the next year, whether it be here or international. Doesn't matter. So you can bring in Peyton Watson. What I don't want to do, because remember, I was getting his name wrong when it was first brought up 2 weeks ago. All right? I think we have a bit of a LeBron Chase hangover where you didn't get LeBron. And all we've known, like if you're if you're John's age, you've only known the Cavs to be dominant with who? With LeBron. That's it. So all your hopes and dreams are pinned to him. You didn't get him. And it seems that the fallout from it was he wasn't ever even really interested in coming back, which is another kick in the gut for some of the fans out there. So now you have this team. They get swept in the Eastern Conference. Nobody's really excited about them. They've turned on Kenny Atkinson, and in so many ways, rightfully so, when he sticks his foot in his mouth the way he does. James Harden is not the type of superstar that people want to hug and bring in and make him their own. And then you got this Peyton Watson fella. And I don't want him to pay the fiddler because of a LeBron hangover. You get what I'm pointing out here? Like, he could be a fine, fine ball player and could be a great help because he is a wing. He is good. He averaged 14, 9, almost 15 a game last year with Jokic. So you have a guy that can help you out tremendously. He could be a tremendous player for you and kind of, if he continues on this trajectory, and I'm speculating now, Anthony, because I don't know as much. I'm going to lay out for you to teach me on this. Like, I could be looking at him, hopefully, as maybe the next Jared Allen in the case of you're way overplaying your contract. Your value is too high with the output that you're able to put out.
Oh, they are banking on that.
There
yeah,
you go. Thank you very much. Because he's so young. So I'm going to lay out now. Tell me why I don't have to worry about the LeBron hangover and maybe why I'm going to get defensive of him as this season starts with some of the general folks.
The whole thing the Cavs have been missing for so long, and ever since LeBron James left the last time, was athleticism and wing play. And so all along, it was going to be Kobe Altman's difficult task to thread the needle of limited resources and also try to figure out how around the two guards in Harden and Donovan Mitchell, could you make up for their defensive issues by having, you know, athletes around them? And as much as, you know, I saw a lot of fans writing their eulogies for Max Strus, that wasn't an athlete that was going to make up for your defensive issues. This guy is unbelievable defensively at the rim, and he's only really had one outstanding month. He was a kind of a project late first round pick coming out of UCLA. He was a freak athlete coming out of high school and was, I believe he was a McDonald's All-American, but he was a big time recruit. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it just didn't really pan out at UCLA. And then he came out, he was drafted 30th overall by OKC. Always pay attention when, you know, teams like OKC, when you're on their radar. But he really shined when Jokic was injured last year. His January and then first game in February, ironically against OKC, he was annihilating. He was incredible. He was hitting threes. He had always kind of had a jump shot where people were trying to project what that jumper would be. His free throw shooting got better every year, and people seemed to think in the NBA that's a really good indicator of shooting. It's the flip side with Evan Mobley. Like, his free throw shooting did not get all that much better, and so people are wondering, oh no, is he never going to be a really good shooter in the league? Peyton Watson projects as somebody who we could be talking about 3 years from now as a total steal at that 22, you know, per year, $22 million level. The flip side of this is he has no real playoff bona fides. I mean, he's played in a bunch of playoff games, but he's never scored double digits. He's been, you know, a fringe player in the playoffs. So that was in the debate about him versus Kuminga. That's where Kuminga bested him. They're both 23 years old. Kuminga actually, you know, scores as a better athlete, but he does not protect the rim like Peyton Watson does.
Okay.
And, you know, point of attack defense too, Watson has been really good. It's just been in limited minutes. Now he's going to get to show that off a little bit more, as it looks like he's certainly going to be in the starting lineup for the Cavs.
So I'm not a big fan of Jonathan Kuminga. But you just said that he would help for the right now instead of for the future.
Yeah, I think Kuminga today has been a better player so far in his career than Peyton Watson. The tantalizing thing about Watson is he showed off in that month of January against some really good teams, too. He showed up in a way that I don't even think Denver Nuggets fans thought he was capable of. I mean, he had big three-point shooting outputs, big corner three maker, and he even showed that he could play make, you know, from the perimeter. And he had not really demonstrated a lot of that early in his career.
So let me ask you a series of questions here. How do they then thread the needle for the future? Because this is a very young player that can be threading the needle for, okay, do I make him a part of my future with Evan Mobley? Or how much can he help with a right now with Donovan Mitchell? And right now, maybe even next year, the year after this year, I'm saying, with Donovan Mitchell, how do I do something like that? Or is that even possible?
Well, he's going to get opportunities this year just... frankly, because, I mean, you look at their roster, there are going to be nights, hopefully, that they are kind of load managing Donovan so that we don't run into the same problem we run into every year where Donovan is basically limping to the finish and out of gas. And also Harden. Harden played the most minutes of anybody on the Cavs last year in the postseason. That's insane. He's going to be 37 this year. James Harden should not be, you know, taking on that load all regular season either, even though that's been his calling card. He's been able to be such a durable regular season player. Like, it's okay if you actually load manage James Harden a little bit, and then Peyton Watson will get the opportunity. We had nobody in transition. This guy is a dynamo in transition. We had nobody that could get back on defense or sprint the length of the court last year. This is very different. Peyton Watson could do all of those things, and that was something they were desperately missing.
Do they really think they can compete this year then? Or is this a signal to the fans that we're getting ready for the future even with the players we have now?
I think they think this is a little bit of both. I think based on that month that he put together last year and then unfortunately was not able to play in the playoffs and some people in Denver were calling him a quitter because it was, I think, a calf injury and they were worried that the calf could turn into something worse. You know how that is every year for the NBA players.
Calves are the worst.
But he did not play in the playoffs last year. And people were saying he was putting his contract and his free agency, a potential free agency, it was a restricted free agency, ahead of the team. Well, isn't that something a lot of guys would do? Like, that's the delicate balance of that. Obviously, that did not scare the Cavs off by any means. I do think that he can help them in the interim, and he's projecting long-term as a big-time wing force that can also play the four.
Can I comp him at all to Lauri Markkanen?
Markkanen is tremendously more skilled offensively. Watson has not shown, you know, that ability yet at all.
So I'm asking.
But, man, when you see him in the open floor, I mean, he gets up and down the floor. They just didn't have that. Think of how many times, even last year, we would just be in molasses in the playoffs. And I know so much of that is James Harden dribbling the ball. A lot of times, nobody was getting down the floor. Nobody was able to race down the floor. And nobody could get back. How many times do we see like Harden shoot a three and everybody, Ole, would go the other way and it would be a especially against the Knicks, games 2, 3, and 4 in that Eastern Conference Finals. So they look at him as, could he be an OG Anunoby, you know, down the road?
That'd be something.
He's nowhere near that right now, but, you know, there are a lot of the dorks around the NBA. They are really high on Peyton Watson and have been for a while.
Jeff in University Heights, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Happy Thursday, too. You know, I like the deal, but I'm not ready to start making reservations for a parade down St. Clair in June. I mean, does it make them better? Yeah, but, you know, I've got reservations about a guy that, you know, only signed for a month. I mean, you know, I would have liked to see a little more consistency than that. And it was not the blockbuster deal that all of us wanted. And my problem with the Cavs is that they are depending on a guy who I don't think has much, especially offensively, that they're building around, somebody that I think they should have traded. And that's number 4. So as long as 4 is on the team and as long as 4 is underdeveloped offensively like he is, and Chris Fedor has pointed it out more than once that he doesn't believe that he's going to be much more than what you see offensively, then Are you more mildly excited more than you were, say, this time 24 hours ago? Yes, but I still think they're about the fifth best team in the East at this time.
Jeff, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, I don't think this drastically changes their win total. I do think on paper, if you look at their roster composition, they have so desperately needed. We just saw on TV, they're showing him get up and down and transition and throw down. Like, they haven't had anybody like that. You know, Dean Wade, God bless him, he couldn't do that.
No.
And so they've been missing that in a big way, and now they're hopefully bridging the gap there. I think you also got to give a ton of credit to James Harden. He was patient with the Cavs. The Cavs promised him and Donovan Mitchell that there were going to be some moves, and he waited and waited and waited and waited, and people are starting to wonder, what in the hell is going on here? But this is all part of, think about this, you could not have done this had you not have had James Harden working with the organization.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, or 8:20, Mary-Kay Cabot going to join us on the show. Coming up in 5 minutes, if you're planning on booing Deshaun Watson Saturday, he wants you to know he doesn't care. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live in the...
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I think they've gotten better. If they're making a big bet on Watson, like it's a big bet. And they gave up a lot to make this happen because they have extremely limited trade assets. And to give up the 31 first to move off of Strus, not so much Schroeder. I was never a big Schroeder fan to begin with, but you know, that it's a lot. And you know, Max served a role and he served it well while he was here. He gave them what they needed at the time. And now they need something a little bit different. And you know, Watson's really long. He can guard all five spots, and they're making a bet that they can develop him into something more than just sort of a spot-up three-point shooter, catch-and-shoot guy. And we'll see if they're right, because they're making a big bet on this. And if they're right, then, you know, if they can develop some of the other parts of his game, they've really got something here. We'll see if they got the bet right or not, but they're definitely making a big bet on Watson and on their player development.
Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. Just a complete failure of in-show communication happened that none of you can see. But we botched trying to get a rejoin there, and yeah. Then Jax and I were basically doing the dumbest sign language to each other, which I thought in my head made sense, but we just didn't. But that was a great clip by Jason Lloyd, let me tell you.
Yeah, what happened? Was Jax just acknowledging it, or what happened?
So what I was trying to figure out is, because we're going to have Todd Monken's press conference in about 15 minutes here.
Okay.
So I didn't know if we were still going to get out in this segment on time the way it was written up there.
Okay, okay.
So I just started flashing numbers at him, and then he started flashing numbers back. But they were similar numbers, but I don't think we were saying the same thing.
You also probably had no idea what the other one is saying. It's like when you...
He just held up seven, and then he held up four. I don't know what those mean.
I think you learned with me, I can't really mouth read, or at least I can't mouth read when you do it. And so at one point, because you said like you'd turn off the mics and then like mouth read it to me. And I think you realized, I'm like, this is not happening. This is not, it's not working for me. It's never going
to
work
for
me.
That is an attempt to seductively whisper something to you. But these things can't always go the way prove.
You're good at pillow talk.
It is interesting that I am commented on it. Vanessa, she's always like, pillow talk, shut up. But no, I will tell you that I don't know definitively the Cavs got better. But I don't think the idea of linear getting better all the time happens all at once. And sometimes you do just have to get different. And I think different is enough right now from where the Cavs are.
Different's good. I needed different. I needed to shake it up. I wanted to shake it up more if I could, but I like shaking it up at least in some sense. Yeah. What's interesting about this? I don't think Peyton Watson all of a sudden made you, Vegas, if you're 48 and a half wins prior to this, you might be 49 on the dot now. Mm-hmm. I don't think he adds anything really in the win department necessarily as of right now. But if he can do what he did last year and do it at a higher level as far as more games and more production with more minutes, you had a really good opportunity to turn this into a mega steal of a deal.
Yeah, and I think, to me, it's about adding upside. You know, part of the reason why, when you go from Darius to James is you got a decade older and you lose some of your theoretical upside. When Evan doesn't take his big jump, you're losing some of your upside. Adding a wing that can do everything you need him to, if he can just continue to do it with a step forward with kind of more responsibility, adding that at what 3 years from now could look insanely cheap, both financially and for what you traded for him, that's the kind of thing that can take you. We talked a lot about regular season upside. It is the kind of thing that can really swing a series or two once it gets to time that it really matters.
Well, and with Peyton, he was not simply standing in the corner taking two shots a night either. His scoring went from 8 to 15 while his efficiency improved.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, his true shooting percentage was 53. Two years ago, it was 56. Last year, it was 59. That tells you he was doing more things, and his usage rate jumped up higher, and there's all sorts of things I can throw at your face to tell you that he is trending in the right direction, and this is an obvious bet on what he could potentially turn into. Will it happen? Well, that's the weird part about this. Like Jason says, they're betting on the development, and that's where I always have a hard time when it comes to the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
They're not great in the development department, so this is one they're going to have to show me that they can develop and they can get increase off of what we saw last year.
I don't entirely agree with you on the development thing.
Oh, I should make sure you want me to say wings in the development area.
Okay.
Is that what you want me to say?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I like Jalen Tyson a lot. Now, unfortunately, Kenny Atkinson didn't like him enough in the postseason. That was a Kenny problem. That was not a Tyson problem. There were moments that were too big for him. How's that kid going to get better? How's that kid going to learn if he's not in the game at those moments? But like, I think one of the things, like, I know Fedor has called out Malik Thomas, and the Cavs really think they have something there. Between Malik Thomas, I don't care that Watson's, 4 years in the NBA, still very young.
I guess I'm more going over the Kobe Altman era in general.
That's fair.
And that I feel like, again, and this is not this is the right bet. You should make it on guys like this, who have developed the way they have. 29% from three to 35% to three to now 41% from three. And we'll up those shots and see if it stays anywhere close to 41%. It's the right bet. It makes so much sense when you sound it all out. But then we do have to then have him continue to take some steps.
And one of the big things that I like about this is, like, with DeAndre Hunter wasn't as well-rounded of a player, so he had to do the things that he did well, really well for that trade to work out, and he did until last year, really. But for a half a season, it looked like it was going to work out, and then it didn't. With Watson, like, he teased some playmaking abilities as an offensive creator this year. And again, that's teasing. Yeah. We've got plenty of guys that have teased that in the NBA, haven't done it. But when you say, like, that's added value. The defense stuff, I don't think is fungible. I think that's just a baked-in thing. He's a very nice defensive player on the wing.
Yeah, that's who he is.
So you're looking at upside in creation. You're looking at upside in three-point shooting. And so it is a risk. And there's a reason why you can get this player for a single first rounder. Some of that's Denver's situation. Some of that is, it is a risk here. You are projecting. But I think this idea that the only way the Cavs were going to win a championship is if there were a million risk-free propositions falling from the sky, that's hell. Trading Darius for Harden is a risk. You have to take risks if you want to get tangibly better, because not all of them are going to work, but certainly not all of them are going to fall on their face either.
And this is a risk worthwhile. Do you want to hear my comp, who I think he can potentially be?
Mein Kampf?
No, my comp.
Okay.
My comp.
Okay, yes, I do want to hear your comp.
Yeah, thank you. Now it's not going to hit with any sort of bang. Now it's, Jax, do you want to hear my NBA comp? You're a big NBA guy.
Can you do this one in a German accent?
So, Jaden McDaniels with better shot blocking. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I love Jaden McDaniels, so I hope you're right.
You know? Yeah. Now, do we do the second part? Is that not how we do this?
I mean, you can. I don't know that. Ugh. I don't know that we're going to appreciate it.
Well,
but
I know. You know who I'm married to.
It'd be weird if you were to be the one to do that on the station.
You know who I'm married to? What are we doing here?
Yeah, there's a couple people around the station that I wouldn't put it past them, right? But you, it'd be a real letdown. I do like the McDaniels thing, though. I really, if he can be that is...
People keep going to OG Anunoby. I think like the highest thing you could ever dream of would be like a light version of OG Anunoby. Yeah. I think that's living in a different stratosphere that you just cannot possibly project on anybody, at least with the skill set that he's currently shown. If you can beat McDaniels, that's an awesome development, especially with the idea that you'd guard the very best defender or the very best offensive player on the other team every single night.
I still am a little concerned that the Cavs just walked the two guys who had that dog in them off this roster. Struess and Schroeder, for as imperfect of players as they are, they were guys who never felt intimidated by the moment. Sometime to Schroeder's, like, damage, like, sometimes he went full Leroy Jenkins on us.
Yeah.
But, like, I'll take that.
That's
as
how you
opposed
end up on
to,
13 different teams in your NBA career.
I'll take that as opposed to turtling. So I think that's still maybe the biggest TBD, but when it comes to like glue guys that tie everybody together, Peyton Watson is one of those, and I'm still very hopeful that Jalen Tyson can be one of those guys too. I think Jalen Tyson can be a starter in the league, and he's also a guy that does a little bit of everything really, really well. Tyson and Watson have a chance to really be the kind of connective wing players that make Donovan Mitchell better in the playoffs, that I think can make Harden better, even if we're still going to have his why the hell did you do that Harden moments, because that's baked in with James Harden.
I can't remember who I was listening to earlier today, and they were making the suggestion that the Cavs with this move took themselves to another tier. If they were middle of the pack at one point, now they brought themselves in that tier that still exists below the Knicks. It still exists below the 76ers, but now they're in that second tier, that firm second tier. Do you buy that take?
Not with this trade alone, but I do think that's where we thought they should be anyways. Like, yes, there's a lot of intrigue in the East. People are crowning a lot of kind of hypothetical teams to this point, including the Heat, including Toronto, including, oh hell, there was another team I was thinking about that I lost immediately as I went to say including.
Indiana?
Yes.
That was not what he was thinking.
That was not what I was thinking, but it's better than what I was going to pull out of thin air.
That was nice by you.
So I don't think the Cavs are as hypothetical as a lot of the teams that people are already crowning in the Eastern Conference.
Okay. I when Jason said Eastern Conference Finals, anything short of that is a failure. I thought that was heavy-handed.
Did the Cavs improve enough this summer? Todd Monken's presser when we come back in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps. Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Browns fans, congratulations. Congratulations, Browns fans. So many Browns fans were rooting for it. And by golly, it's happened. Peyton is coming to Cleveland. How about that?
It's amazing how that works out.
Peyton coming to Cleveland.
Yeah, it's nice to see.
Cut that meat.
Absolutely.
Wrong Peyton.
What?
Peyton Watson.
Oh, you got me all fired up.
He's coming to Cleveland.
Oh, my word.
How about that?
Well, I guess if you present it like that, it's still good, but if you're going to give me that leadoff.
That work?
Okay.
Sitting on the couch last night watching Con Air. Couldn't make it to the end of it. Watching Con Air.
Sorry to hear that. John Malkovich is so good in there.
No, he's phenomenal. And Nicolas Cage couldn't do a worse Southern accent.
Oh, God, that accent is... The only one that's worse might be his accent in Raising Arizona, but that's very different.
It was just bad. But all of a sudden, pops up Peyton Watson, Cavaliers. They make a trade. And a big trade. It was. Welcome to Baskin and Phelps. Baskin is out today. Menigan is in. Kayla Colejohn's behind the glass. MK, Matt Corrali. It's taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. We have a couple of MKs here. Meredith Kane just did a 2020. Cavs pull off this deal. And the way these things work in the NBA, remember the Dennis Schroeder trade? All right, well, that thing got lumped in. And so it ends up being a five-team trade. Cavs give up Max Strus, Dennis Schroeder, and a 2031 unprotected first-round draft choice. And they end up with Peyton Watson, young guy from the Denver Nuggets, restricted free agent. They've got to sign him. Apparently they have a 4-year, $88 million contract. Rich Paul strikes again.
But
nice job, Rich. Well, it's a good contract.
It's less painful than I thought it would be. That's I thought we would be starting at an overall salary that begins with a one. This does not.
Well, he's not earned it yet.
Right. But still, we know how these trades go. We know how this works. I mean, goodness knows the amount of those the Miami Heat were handed out for a while for Tyler Johnson.
And yeah. I hate to say this because I like him. It looks like they're going to waive Cam Whitmore.
Boo.
Yeah, he's tough.
6'6". Now he's dealing with a blood clot in his shoulder. That's frowned upon. And he missed most of the season because of it last year. But he's a tough player. And he's actually had a better NBA career in the first 3 or 4 years of his career. He's been in for 3 and Watson's been in for 4 than Peyton Watson. He's actually been more productive, but Peyton Watson has had the singular best season of those guys. And he answers a lot of needs for the Cavaliers, Dan.
He seems... I've watched a decent amount of Nuggets games because I love watching Nikola Jokic. Like, I just... At least twice a game, Nikola Jokic.
He is your guy.
Nikola Jokic will make a pass at least twice a game where I can't help but start cackling. Like, it's just ridiculous the amount of things that that guy can do. At least right now, he is a really good defender. Peyton Watson, you could put him on a point guard, put him on a shooting guard, small forward. He can hang with all of those guys and make their lives a nightmare. Your questions that you had of who's going to guard Jason Tatum, you now have an answer.
Doesn't mean he's going to shut him down, but he's going to guard him.
Right. And he's a darn good defender.
Without question.
Don't think for half a second.
Without question. He's darn. I mean, you're not going to shut down, you know.
He's not Scottie Pippen. Right, you're not looking at anything like that. He's not Kawhi Leonard.
He's as good of a wing defender as you might find in the NBA.
Correct.
There aren't a whole lot that are better.
Yeah.
And he averaged like 1.5 blocks per game last year.
Right. And he can get up, and he's springy as all get out. He's more of a slasher than a shooter at this point in his career, though he can shoot the three. It's just a little more streaky. So I wonder if the Cavs are looking at him and saying, we can try to develop this three-point shot a little bit better. And he's not going to be a guy that's going to stand in the corner and just shoot threes. He can kind of make his own offense. The weird thing with him is he was actually having some of the best numbers of his career when Jokic was off the floor dealing with injury. And it was no Jokic, no Murray, and no Christian Braun. And he was putting up really good numbers last year until he yanked a hamstring.
I like it. He's 6'8". Peyton Watson is 6'8". He is really athletic. He's springy. Means he's got a lot of hops. Blocks a lot of shots for a wing guy. Explosive. And last year, shot 41% on threes. So, congratulations. That's well done. You give up Max Strus in this deal. Max goes to the Los Angeles Clippers in this deal where he'll be reunited with Darius Garland. Isn't that nice?
It's lovely.
That's a nice thing. The Peyton Watson deal is this. He's young. He turns 24 in September. So, you know, his career's ahead of him. He's 6'8", 4 seasons in Denver. The only issue I have on this a little bit, Dan, and it's just a little bit. I'm just trying to be devil's advocate and look at different things here. Peyton Watson, though last year he was really good, he averaged over 14 points a game. He averaged almost 5 rebounds a game. He averaged a little over 2 assists per game. Everything he did last year was a career high. Everything, it seems. He did miss a bunch of games. He played in only 54. But it took him into, and it's okay, it took him into his fourth year to really establish himself as somebody who, ooh, that guy can really help us. In other words, it just took a while. There's nothing wrong with developing, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, a young guy coming along. He's only, again, going to turn 24 coming up here. But he got paid really based on the production of one season where it was a build-up and a growth process through the first 3, and then in the fourth, he was ready to go and much improved. The Cavs are banking on that one season not being an aberration, banking on it being a trend. And I don't blame them. I think I would too.
The eye test would tell you that this was a good investment to make. He's one of those guys you could...
I'd agree with that.
You could pull up the playoff numbers from previous years, and the playoff numbers you'll look at and go, oh my God, this guy's terrible. Well, if you actually turn the game on and then watch the game itself, you'll go, this guy's everywhere playing defense. They're just funneling an offense through Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and Aaron Gordon is getting his cutting points and all of that kind of stuff. And at that point, Michael Porter Jr. was getting his shots along the way as well. Cam Johnson last year when he was healthy. Like, he was definitely option 4, if not 5, in any given option season.
Then he'll fit right in here.
Right. That's kind of part of it. And he can find his own shot off the dribble, which he showed when all of those guys were out, and he was able to score a little bit. Again, I cannot state this enough. I would not call him a 3-and-D guy. He shot 41% from three, but we're only talking
career high. Other than a rookie year where he didn't play very much.
We're only talking 3.6 attempts. So it's not like we're dealing with a large sample size of like a guy almost like a Klay Thompson where you would be like, you stand over there and you just light it up. He's not that. He needs the ball in his hands. He's a little bit more of a slasher. So that's going to be interesting to see how they figure that out. I hope they continue to develop the three-point shot, but still let him be a slasher.
One aspect of this that I think needs to make sure everybody understands, and I think this is a key part of it. You have Evan Mobley at power forward, former defensive player of the year. This gives the Cavs a better defender on the wing than Dean Wade. Would you agree with that? You know, better defender than Dean Wade. And Dean's a pretty good defender.
Dean Wade's an underrated good defender.
Yeah, I know.
Like, surprisingly good.
I
would say he's
more athletic.
He's more athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that helps Evan Mobley a little bit on the defensive end. So they're, you know, when James Harden and Donovan Mitchell, you know, turn and say, right this way to the basket, fellas. There's now another guy along with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen.
A fine Olay defense.
Back there to cover up a little bit.
Or
I think that helps.
Or one of my favorites, I forget who said, I think it might have been Barkley, who called it help defense. And by that, I mean somebody goes by him and they just go, help!
Well, that's accurate, isn't it?
It very much so.
That's accurate.
And we've watched the two of them play some pretty darn good help defense over the years.
They had Peyton Watson circled, according to all reports. And you know, if you haven't, go type him into Google, watch some highlights, and you'll see what it is the Cavs are attracted to here. A really athletic guy out on the wing, not really athletic at 6'5", really athletic at 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
That's a difference. It doesn't sound like much, but it's a difference.
By the way, finally. Can we both just take a minute and just say, finally, they went and got somebody who was between 6'7 and 6'10 who could create their own shot and play defense? Finally.
Well, if the Cam Whitmore report that's out there now from Bobby Marks, ESPN, is true and they waive Cam Whitmore, this isn't as legit as it was when I was thinking about it earlier this morning. But I was going to make the little joke. Apparently, Andrew Berry called Kobe Altman and said, hey, look, I needed wide receivers. I just took too early. I got it out of the way. Just jump in and go get those small forwards. Get those guys who can play out on the wing. And Kobe Altman apparently listened because Kobe brought in three. Mario Hezonja.
I'm interested to see what Hezonja looks
Watson, like. Peyton Watson. Cam Whitmore, who apparently is going to get waived.
I know. That's
I know.
I liked him in college, man.
Again, I like his game. You know, think about, he's kind of a stocky 6'6", about 225, with an outside shot that's not bad. He can score mid-range, mm-hmm. and he gets to the basket.
He can fill it up.
So, and he's been more productive in his NBA career than Peyton Watson, although Peyton Watson had a nicer year last year than anything that Cam Whitmore's ever had.
Now, the one thing I will say of Cam Whitmore is he kind of has that Russell Westbrook syndrome on any NBA floor he steps onto. He believes he is the best player, and he will show it to you at any point.
In other words, the Jared Verse syndrome.
Yeah, I guess you could throw that
Talks
in there, too,
great
if you
game,
want to keep that going.
And
yeah.
then backs it up.
Well, Cam Whitmore hasn't backed it up yet.
He's been pretty good.
But I'm not selling stock.
As a 19-year-old, he averaged 12 points a game with Houston Rockets.
I've always liked
but
it.
But they're going to waive him and stretch out his contract, apparently, which will save them money so that they can give it to a 37-year-old point guard. And now the Cavs are, to use one of their expressions from the fabulous marketing campaigns over the years, the Cavs are all in. They give up a 2031, no restricted, no protections, wide open first-round draft pick. After giving up all those picks for Donovan Mitchell and signing Donovan to a contract that runs through 2031.
Do you like to turn it over in the red zone? No. Do you like to miss an open touchdown? No. But we got a lot of good work going against someone different looks, right? So that was really good. The one thing I would say, maybe it was just me, it didn't look like we were out of place. look like we belong. That's all we wanted to see, right? Do we belong? I mean, does our first 11 give us a chance to move the ball and score? And I felt that way today.
That's Todd Monken yesterday, obviously. You know that voice. Wild man, Todd Monken, excellent stuff. John had asked, I'm going to do this quick, and I want to ask you about a Hall of Famer here, because people are going after you for talking about a Hall of Famer coming back to Cleveland and spending the rest of his career here. And I think I agree with you, but I disagree with you on one thing, your sarcasm when it comes to Shedeur Sanders on this case, in this case. The whole check down king, quote unquote, stuff. And talking about, well, it's a 7-on-7, doesn't matter to you, all this stuff. You know, John had asked a question last week to us. You know, John sends topics when he feels like it. And he had asked, let me make sure I get this right. If Watson wins the job and he struggles and Shedeur comes in and does well, do the Browns look foolish? Is what I've written there, because that's what John had asked. And I said, you know, that's a good thing, because I could say, well, all depends on what we find out at the end of the season. But if Shedeur were to not start the year and look good, like yesterday was one of those reasons why. I'm not asking you. You know, you said yesterday was a big day for him. He had to really show off his stuff. They know he can throw a deep ball. Everybody in the world knows he can. Everybody in the world knows that he could be accurate when he was at Colorado, and he could be accurate here even in Cleveland. I make your jokes about the Ducks and all the other things, and plenty of them have. I want to see him be operational. It's a low bar. I understand that. We all want to be impressed by big, long passes that the camera zooms in and slows down, NFL film style. That's all great up in the stands. That's not what Todd Monken's looking for. You're an NFL quarterback. I assume you're wearing an NFL jersey. I assume you said it yourself, Anthony. It's 2026. They all can make all the throws. That doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, we saw Taylen Green.
They make all the throws.
Yeah,
they can. So did Brandon Whedon. And what happened when you asked Brandon Whedon to be operational? He sucked. Sucked out loud. It's terrible. Didn't know where guys were. Oh, my God, he throws an out route. Yeah, so can every other quarterback in the NFL.
Didn't we love Johnny Manziel's arm talent, Kenny?
Oh, great. Put him at the Stark County Fair. Didn't we love Johnny Manziel? Okay, maybe you can beat him in a drinking contest. Like, that's not operational. That's my whole thing about it. It's like we are not seeing the forest for the trees here. Whoever wins the job doesn't mean the end of hope. If Watson wins the job, I think it means the end of excuses for Shedeur, and I'll bring up more of that at 8 o'clock, because, again, I did hear something yesterday I just couldn't believe was so separated from reality. It's not the end of hope. It is another test for him going, are you going to do what's necessary to be the starter when called upon? Because you will, because they're not good. Or are we going to go and have problems, and you're just going to go south, and it's the Browns' fault and everybody else's fault? Are we going to do that? Like, that is a test of him. And that's the issue. Are you going to be able to answer that test? And him being able to just take what's given, check the ball down, is actually, to me, a passing of that test. I'm not asking for much, guys. We're talking about an also-ran, a guy who never was with us, and then another guy who, at the end of all this, you know what the NFL thinks of him, and it ain't much. Bring up whatever conspiracy theories you want to bring up, whatever YouTube videos that you can wrap your arms around and make yourselves feel better about. You know damn well what the rest of the league thinks of them. And so your job, if you're Shedeur, is to prove yourself day by day by doing it right. I don't need some parlor trick. I need a guy who can play the game and play it the smart way. Because you know what? The more he eliminates turnovers by playing smart football, not just holding onto the ball and being afraid to throw the football, which I don't think he did that yesterday.
Yeah, Key said it was 7-on-7, though. Does that matter to you?
No, it doesn't.
7-on-7?
No, because if it's the right read, it's the right read. And so if he's able to do it, then he'll have his chance at it.
Yeah, our guys can win 7-on-7, right? Our wide receivers.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, they're really good. They have a lot of potential. I mean, I don't know if they're really, really good yet, because they're two rookies. The other guy, and who knows it? Just depends on what side of the bed he wakes up on, I guess. I have no idea. 216-474-0092. All right, you got into it yesterday about a Hall of Famer. Please. Please tell us about
this. Yeah, the news came out. We got the numbers on James Harden, who had been patient throughout the whole process to try to help the Cavs first get LeBron at a certain number and maybe other players. And then eventually it led to them getting Peyton Watson in that deal. And it's 3 years, $97 million. And people were really nervous about giving a third year. By the way, I was really nervous about giving James Harden a third year. But this is the price of doing business with somebody that was, you know, a huge additive to your team.
Well, once you lost LeBron, he had the cards here.
Yeah, really... but you know what? He still got in at an annual salary that helped you get a legitimate wing that people seem very excited about, that the Denver Nuggets were really upset about losing. So this is key. The 3 years, $97 million, average annual salary is going to be, you know, essentially in the 31, 32 per year, which if you're wondering where that puts him, I mean, that's around Tyler Hero. He was better than Tyler Hero last year. DeJounte Murray, he was better than DeJounte Murray. Emmanuel Quickly was injured last year. Jalen Suggs in the playoffs. So, yeah. So that's his range. He outperformed all that big time. I know people will only remember the turnovers, and he went very cold as the playoffs wore on. But he also, I mean, got us past Detroit, was huge in taking down the one seed in the Eastern Conference. He had big moments, obviously, against Toronto to get them ahead in that series. So he outperformed that. I mean, by every metric you can imagine, they have him playing at around $50 million. That was where he actually played, if you look at all the advanced numbers and just my eyes. I mean, I saw him, you know, as a huge, huge, you know, part of getting your team past a point they couldn't get past with Darius Garland.
It's odd because we just agree with each other so much on this. So I tend to lay out and I tend to just turn it into an agreement fest because I supported the trade. I still support the trade. It was weird that I went from having fights every day about saying that the team was better with Darius Garland. This is way before the trade. And then immediately they get James Harden and, well, we needed Darius Garland. This is the dumbest thing ever. It's like, where were you guys 6 months ago? I don't understand this, other than they traded for a guy that most of us didn't watch his games, and so we just paid attention to all
and
the
And remember,
headlines.
Once they traded for James Harden, they finished the year on basically a high 50s, low 60 win pace, and all their offensive numbers skyrocketed. They're you know, just streamlining that offense. And don't forget, Darius Garland was supposed to make $42 million this year, $44 million next year. James is better than him. Mm-hmm. Now, in that third year, if you want to tell me, but that's sports. I mean, we always overpay at the end of contracts. That's just a part of doing business. If you're telling me that we should have just let him walk, well, you have no cap space, so you just would have been a worse team. So that was not an option ever. And I think you guys should give credit. All the haters of James Harden should give him credit for being patient and working with the Cavs so that they could sign other players, and they did.
The bet is made. You have to move forward on this. You have to, and I don't think it's a sunk cost either. Eventually, I mean, he'll hit 40 years old.
He'll be a bad contract at the end,
and
that's 100% of players in sports.
But
they're all bad contracts at the end.
You still had to do what you had to do to still be a competitive team, because we did this on the emerging podcast scene, which you can find on 92.3thefan.com, brought to you by Extend Technologies. I still think you're a top three team in the East, and I think it's a much more competitive East than what it was last year. Also, all Cavs conversations brought to you by the fine folks at Surfside Hard Iced Tea, who ask you to please enjoy that Surfside Hard Iced Tea responsibly. Just over an hour from now, Daryl Ryder going to join us on the show. Sal Capaccio, Bills reporter, WGR 550. I want an outsider's perspective on the Cleveland Browns at 7:20. And in 5 minutes, it is fair, as least as any quarterback competition in the NFL could be anyway. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app. And when you're at work, watch us for free on YouTube Live at 92.3 The Fan and subscribe for absolutely free.
LeBron, Durant, and Steph Curry, all players who've made over $500 million in their career, and now James Harden joins them.
That would be half a bill, by the way. Half a billion dollars.
It's good to be good at basketball.
All because you're good at basketball.
It's good to be good at basketball.
Isn't it weird, our priorities in our country and the way things work? I am the best dang high school social studies teacher east of the Mississippi. Hey, congratulations. Here's your 55G.
Jeff, okay. We don't have time to go down the fact that maybe some of this stuff is slightly out of whack.
That's another show, isn't it, Dan?
That's a deeper conversation that could, you know, parallel with what I found for sports by golly, history coming up.
I am really, it's some of the stupidest stuff. Sports is the stupidest stuff. It's, now, I've made my career, you know,
same. Like
talking about covering, reporting on sports. It's so stupid. It's ridiculous.
It's the great unifying distraction. You know, it's fantastic.
And you can
it's
do
the
it.
Great unifier.
You can do it in every sport. Golf. I'm going to hit this little ball mm-hmm. over all of this acreage with a stick. Mm-hmm. And if I can hit it fewer times than you, mm-hmm. I'm better.
Mm-hmm.
And I make money.
Absolutely. Not only money, but I can find someone who is going to give me $700 million to hit that little white ball for my tour.
I've always,
and then have the tour go defunct, but still have to pay.
I've always loved baseball in so many ways. Pitcher, I'm really good at throwing this round ball to that guy in there over that little weird-looking square thing in a way that you can't hit it with that round stick. That's something.
And for your ability,
that's something.
I will make sure that you do it here and only here for the next 8 years for $325 million. It's
that guy's really good at picking up the ball that these guys hit with a stick and throwing it over to that other square, that guy who's over at that square thing over there before you can run down to where he is.
And for you, you will get 2 years for about $20 million, especially if you stand in the center of the diamond and not in either of the corners for that ability.
We could go on and on and on.
It's insane. Yes, you're right. Again, this is not the place to
sports
do
are silly.
Sports are
we
so
say
silly.
Here on Sports it's Talk Radio.
It's the best. It's why it will forever make me smile. It's the greatest distraction we all have going to everything else.
And I'm really good at taking this bigger ball and throwing it through that circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good at giving it to other guys who are good at that too. And I can stand in front of you and stop you from doing it.
Well, the guy,
and for that, I get $500 million.
I was going to say, the guy who did that, just get two of those three things,
woo!
Just got 3 years and $99 million for being really good at doing two of those three things.
I forget all of our just stupid conversation we just had. I said last week, I said the week before, everybody was all over the Cavaliers. Oh, they're not doing anything. It's a disastrous offseason. The season doesn't start till October, folks.
And hell, LeBron
calm
would,
down.
And LeBron would tell you the season doesn't start until mid-February when the trade deadline passes.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. But the Cavs have now made moves. And they get Peyton Watson, a wing guy, much-needed wing guy. And they sign up James Harden, which we kind of figured would be closely followed. Would follow after the trade, a trade, whatever trade it was. I still think they could use another body or two. My guess is they'll find one, but that's your Cavs team. Mm-hmm. Henry is in Akron. Henry, thank you for calling back. I know you wanted to talk earlier in the show, and we were talking football.
How are you, Henry?
Henry wanted to talk basketball, but he doesn't want to talk now. Henry, call back. So there.
That'll happen.
Do you like the look of this team? And do you like the look of this team as a top-notch competitor in the Eastern Conference?
So I was going to do that. I was going to make that list. So I think Philly, and again, this is all on paper, right? It's all we have right now is paper. I think the Knicks are still better, if everybody's healthy on paper.
Than the Cavs?
Yes.
Okay.
Agreed? Or am I nuts?
I like the Knicks.
Okay. Philly is the interesting one. Because I don't think they're going to go through the whole season with Joel Embiid being healthy. Now, the question is
they might not need him to be.
Well, yeah, it's valid. But you do need somebody who can play defense and can rebound, and he can do
as
that
you said,
really well.
Somebody rebound for me and play some D inside.
And he's a pick-and-roll monster who takes some of the pressure off.
That's the type of a team that could just go get somebody to play center and just drop him in there and have that kind of a center. Because with Maxey and Edgecombe and LeBron and Jaylen Brown, you don't even need Embiid to score.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is nice having somebody who's 7 feet tall and can pass the way that guy can. And take some of the pressure off your ball handlers.
When Embiid's healthy, he's phenomenal.
Right.
He's one of the, I would say, when he's healthy, he's top five.
The question is, can that guy be healthy? By the way, I don't expect you to have this answer because I don't think any of us have this answer in any way. He's Joel Embiid. He's the ultimate wild card going. You dream that he would be healthy.
Danny hasn't been healthy in his career.
Right.
He came into the league not healthy.
Right. And when he was healthy, he won the damn MVP.
You would assume that he's not going to be healthy. However, if you can get him healthy for March, April, May, and June, that's all you need, really.
That's all you need.
It's really all you need.
That's all you need. Yeah.
Henry was in Akron, and Henry is called back. Henry, you there now?
Henry, how are you, man?
Yes, I'm there now. Thank you for taking my call. I was going to say that was an awesome deal to retain Harden. And then I was going to say this again. It don't matter how many wing players we get, as long as we got Atkinson, we're not going to get to the finals. We're not going to win the finals. I'm sick of this. This is not Golden State. All he thinks about is shooting threes. We need a doggish team, a team with a dogmatic attitude. Until they get there, we're not winning nothing. That's what I got to say.
Henry, glad you called back.
I do need to point out that Peyton Watson's probably more of a slasher than anything else. And the three-point shot.
It's evolving.
It's evolving. But he's definitely more of an explosive slasher and somebody who can do a lot of killer back cuts and can find his own shot as well.
I like getting Peyton Watson. 6'8" athletic guys who can defend, that's good. He's an evolving player. He's a young guy. And keep in mind, I think the Cavs paid a lot to get a guy, and I don't mean to diminish what he did as he was developing as a player. They paid a lot, both in money and in assets to get him for a guy who's been pretty good for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep your fingers crossed, Dan, that is a, as Kevin Stefanski would say, trending appropriately. And that the 1 year wasn't a fluke.
I don't think it is just because the guy's such an athletic marvel. I don't either. Yeah.
However.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's still a small sample. No, you're correct.
The guy's had one good year in the NBA. Let me take it back. He's had about 55 good games in the NBA.
That's a good point.
Because he missed about 30 games last year.
That's a good point.
Mike's in Cleveland. Hello, Mike.
How are you, Mike?
Hey, how are you, man?
Great.
Doing well.
So you, when just a little bit ago, when you were talking about contracts and stuff,
yeah.
Like, remember? I know this. I have to remember one sentence here. When A-Rod signed for $250 million for 10 years with the Rangers,
I know it well.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John Hart. But everybody's like, "Oh my God, this is insane!" Now that would be like the norm, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's gotten so outrageous that one of the greatest analogies was just 5 minutes ago, and like, oh yeah, I can do 2 out of 5 things well. So here's $99 million for 4 years.
Mike, it's true, isn't it?
I can cook 17 things at the same time, and I make $24 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm just so. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's the world we're living in. I mean, like. Again, this isn't a civics program. This isn't a better allocation of, you know, anything like that. We're a sports show. We're here to have some fun with it and all of that kind of good stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's a little out of whack.
I mean, if I could do it, I would.
Absolutely.
If I had the cash, I'd pay everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, let's get it going.
Sadly, people aren't signing up to watch us work, and I wish they would.
You guys deserve more, I'm sure.
Well, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more.
I couldn't either.
Mike's the caller of the day.
Everybody wants more. Everybody needs more.
Absolutely.
You know?
Of course.
So, absolutely. And then one more thing. Do you think they keep Harden, or is he going to be on the move?
I think they keep him, Mike. I do. I think he's here. He's got a trade kicker, too.
So.
Just like Watson.
All right. I didn't want to do this now, but it got brought up. Does Harden see year two of that contract?
Yes.
Does Harden see 2.5 of that contract?
Hmm. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us.
This is the problem, is it's James Harden. At any point, he can throw his hands up and just go, I'm out. I'm done. I've done everything I can. Get me the hell out of here.
Get me the
hell. I mean, because he's done it. He went MIA on the Clippers. They couldn't find him until they were watching the Arizona Wildcats basketball game and saw him sitting courtside during their own game. Like,
well, see, that,
this is James Harden.
Can I tie this back in with what we talked about earlier?
Sure.
This is where he's going to have to buy in. I'm sorry. If James, and I'm not bashing the guy, because I don't think you should bash him. He's phenomenal. He's been a phenomenal NBA player. He's one of the best players in NBA history. But if he could buy into, if Kenny Atkinson is selling this, hey, James, 15 points, 10 assists. Turn Donovan into a 22, 23-point-a-game guy. Get Evan his 20 a game and get Peyton Watson 14 and get Jared Allen 13, 14 points. You're a better team than you are if you have Donovan scoring 28 and James scoring 23. And James didn't even shoot that much with the Cavs last year. But as you've pointed out accurately, he has the ball in his hands a lot. And this team, you've now got a big guy in Evan Mobley who can run the floor like crazy. You've got Peyton Watson, who's a real athletic guy and can run the floor like crazy. You have a big in Jared Allen, who gets up and down the floor, is good in transition, does a nice job. And then you've got two guards who like to slow the game down a little bit. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work the way it could, I think, personally. And I'm anxious to see what Kenny Atkinson gets these guys to do. Style of play-wise.
Because I don't think Kenny Atkinson is a bad coach.
I think Kenny's a good coach.
I think Kenny Atkinson said one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life, and it's going to follow him throughout his entire career.
Yeah, the Knicks line.
Everywhere he goes, that was one of the silliest things. Were there things that Kenny Atkinson did as well in that playoff series that made my head hurt? Yes. Were there parts he should have called a timeout? Absolutely. Especially during that Knicks comeback.
During would've the 20-something really nice. Point comeback.
Yeah. Would have been really nice to call a timeout. Does he do things like that? Yes. But he has brought in an offense that moved, unlike what J.B. Bickerstaff had here, which he had a defensive lockdown presence. But boy, you watched it when you went up against it. That thing was the clogged toilet, and it was a mess. And you saw it in Cleveland, too. You would get a little bit of action, then everybody would kind of just look at Donovan and go, okay,
can you bail us out?
Make something happen, bud.
Yeah.
And it seems like year two, maybe we get more of that offense. The main thing is the two guards need to buy in, and especially Harden, that, hey, you need to be able to play multiple ways. It can't just be pounded pick and roll.
You don't need to turn Peyton Watson into a 20-point-a-game scorer. That's not why he's here. But you also don't need to see him regress and not score double digits.
But you need to get him enough touches. That's what I mean.
You got to get him the ball where he wants it and get him his, I would say, 12 to 15 points a game.
It was the great Steve Nash line, and he was always so good at saying this. And I think this was in 6 Seconds or Less, the book that came out about D'Antoni and the Suns and all that kind of stuff. And D'Antoni always said one of the best things about Nash was the fact that he was so good at knowing who needed touches and to make sure that we never ran a play for Sean Marion, but Sean Marion at least got the ball enough that he would hustle down on defense and lock down whomever he was facing.
It's Thursday on Afternoon Drive.
It's over. I mean, it's been over now for days. And I respect Andrew a lot, but him saying this is a competition doesn't mean that it's all of a sudden a competition. Like, in fact, when we first were talking about this, Jake is the one that brought it up. Like, did we call the quarterback competition too soon? And I wanted to almost yell at him and be like, where are you getting this? How did this get into your brain? What happened? What changed in, I don't know, 24 hours to all of a sudden have this thing open? That will not change a thing. And anything that happens on Saturday, again, it's not going to change a thing. Their mind has been made up. And injury is the only way that this thing actually gets changed, but obviously you can't forecast that.
I think the thing that we kind of ignored, because we talked so much of the quarterbacks for the Browns-Bears game, was just how bad the defense looked. But I do think, like, I expect the Browns offense to be a work in progress. Potentially all season, but certainly the first 4 to 8 games of the season, I need the defense to hit the ground running, because it's going to be tough to not immediately look at Mike Rutenberg and go, what the hell are you doing?
Jim in Strongsville, welcome to the show.
Jim. How you doing?
Hello, Jim.
I'm good. And Nick, before we get going here, you have a better chance of stumbling into generational diabetes.
Oh, there's no stumbling into that, Jim. Yeah, that's called charging head first and yelling tally ho.
It's the Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin on Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Tally-ho is back! Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin, back with you for the next 5 hours. We got day baseball for the Gardos and Gigantes. Don't lose it, Big Rig, is what all of Cleveland is thinking right now. We got big dealings in Berea, Browns, Bills, joint practices. You're going to hear Todd Monken's press conference today talking how the quarterbacks do. We've talked a lot about the Shadots. We got a Dadot. We got a Deshaun Watson dot in practice. He actually threw over the middle of the field, and it wasn't intercepted. Praise Jesus and pass the ammunition. And big dealings for your Cleveland Cavaliers, but that open, courtesy of Jax Gregory on the board. Yes. Hi, Jax. Good to see you, buddy. We got Jake Murray, man on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel. As always, follow the show all 5 hours long, live on 92.3 The Fan's YouTube channel. Subscribe, ring that bell. Except you, Cornlito.
Suck it, Cornlito.
And like our videos. We desperately need to be liked by you. Specifically on YouTube, and of course you can listen on the free Odyssey app as well. We've got Flume Dog Millionaire Mackenzie Flume on the old 2020s today. Hi, JP, how you doing?
How well, how's it going today?
Feeling good. How about you?
I feel good today, yeah. I feel good today. There's not many days I come in here where I'm like, I feel really pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm just good at pretending like I feel good. Yeah. My body's always broke.
I think that's what being an adult is just pretending
yes.
You're okay.
Yeah. But today we feel good.
That's good. We like to hear that. First day of school.
Might change 10 minutes from now, but you know, we feel good.
Hey, you never know where it's going to go. That's the beauty of live radio. But today's the first day of school for a lot of parents out there. It certainly is. I don't know why some school districts like ours started on a Thursday. That feels especially masochistic. You get a bunch of waking up at 5:30 2 days in a row, only to then restart the sucker next week. But I'm not an educator. I don't know.
Yeah, did you get the photos of the kids and everything as they're all getting ready for their next year in school?
I sure did. There and we then go. Somehow Vanessa got to post them. I took these beautiful pictures.
Oh, you took the photos?
And then she was like, "Send right. them to me." Yeah. And I was like, "You didn't take these photos.
Who cares?"
All right. Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't care until the first thing she said was, you know, one thought on how you take photos.
Oh, she critiqued the photos then.
And I was like, wait. Big Papa woke up at 5:30 today, woke his girls up, made them eggies in a basket for breakfast.
Yeah.
And then I assembled them on the front porch. Mama Bear walked down the stairs at about 6:15 today. We're getting on the bus at 6:30.
Okay.
And then I took the pictures.
She was up in time. She could have taken the photos, I guess, herself.
Correctamundo.
I thought maybe she slept through it, which is perfectly acceptable.
Dad does all these beautiful, would have been more acceptable, quite frankly. I would have maybe taken the note a little bit better in that event, other than you walk in, you're 5 minutes awake, you're sipping the coffee that I have not even tasted yet that morning, and you go, maybe we go side profile next time.
Haven't you just accepted as a guy that we're never gonna live up to the photo standards of our wives? I tend to think I'm pretty decent at taking photos.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something wrong with them when I take them, and Elise wants them, and that's fine. They act as if we're supposed to be professionals with this, and it's not. It's just not the case.
Yeah, I've
accepted that fact. I just kind of roll my eyes at it and say, okay.
I'm gifted in many ways, but if you ever see me become the guy who's being the wrong half of the content creator, right? Because whether it's my daughter or my wife, they want to do like let's take another one. That guy who sits there for 30 minutes patiently, that man's a saint. I will never be that man.
What do you mean?
Oh, you haven't seen it? Like just walking around when a girl wants to get a picture out in public and basically turns her significant other into a photog, or this is the tough one.
Oh, where the guy then has to take the photo of the woman? Is that what you're saying?
And then she sits there and critiques him to his face and makes him take it again.
Oh, well, those people just seem a little nasty as all. That's all right.
It seems like the internet.
That's all right.
But news to celebrate.
What do we have?
Well, we've got a James Harden contract extension, and that is allowed. That happens because the Cavs finally consummated a 5-team trade that sends out Dennis Schroeder, that sends out 2 seconds, that sends out a future first, that sends out Max Strus, and brings back a little fella named Peyton Watson there. And it's interesting. Like, I actually understand the risk that comes with Peyton Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was his best year by far. He only played 50 games last year.
Yep.
But yet, and oh, by the way, they didn't have a lot of bullets to spend on this. But yet, in terms of what you could actually pull off, the fact that they did this with only giving out what they sent out, this is a absolute slam dunk, great deal, great risk taken by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, you make this trade 11 times out of 10. He's 6'8", 23, can defend multiple positions, protects the rim from the wing spot, and really the question comes down to, did he just have a career shooting year last year, or did Peyton Watson actually learn how to shoot the basketball?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that answer. We'll find out that answer, but if he shoots anywhere close to 41% from three, limited sample size, but if he shoots anything close to that, then this is a hell of a steal.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to assume he's going to get more than like 3.5 three-point attempts per game in this scenario.
Well, and typically, though, that's where then the numbers come back down to earth.
Yes. So
when you start adding more shots, typically that it then becomes harder to keep that pace up.
If he can keep doing it, if he can keep it within the 37%, 38%, which is right about league average,
yeah,
while maintaining higher catch-and-shoot numbers, you will take that.
Oh, like, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have become the exact freak that we always talk about not being able to find in this league.
No.
The athletic archetype wing that everybody wants.
I know we're not sure what's happening with Cam Whitmore. I don't know if that's officially been announced.
He's gone.
He is officially?
I don't know that anything's official at this point, but I'm telling you, he's gone.
Well, the funny thing is, I actually don't understand doing that, considering he's making such paltry money.
Like, I don't think they've officially announced the trade even at this point, have they?
But the reason why I say that is, one of the things that I like that they've done is they've reloaded on youthful talent to give Kenny Atkinson to work with. There's a decent chance where you look at what they've got here and go, Peyton Watson, I know people have given up on Mobley getting better, but Mobley still has theoretical upside. Malik Thomas, Tyrese Proctor. I'm not as high on CPJ, but Naquan Tomlin. Mm-hmm. And you throw in Watson there, and if they would have kept Cam Whitmore, there's a lot of young guys with talent that have the kind of NBA bodies you need, and now you just need to see what you can maximize. Like, Peyton Watson could be a guy that outlives his contract value within a year just by maintaining his numbers for Denver in a bigger sample size in about 70 games this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole idea. Is they're betting on an ascending player is the hope here. And if he can be that, I feel like the Cavs, and typically when we go after these wing-type players, we're getting guys like DeAndre Hunter, for instance, that has already gotten to his apex and is now kind of on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about this is that Watson could be on the rise. You could be buying at a time where he could just be developing everything and getting everything right. I mean, go back, look at his numbers at UCLA, Nick. I mean, I think he averaged like 3 points a game at UCLA.
Yeah.
He did basically nothing offensively. And then even in the first couple years in the NBA, he did basically nothing offensively because he was a defense first guy. That was his bread and butter. And he was 6'8" and he's a freak and there's a lot attached to that. If he can actually get this game dialed in offensively, he is a massive bargain.
And being able to give him up or get him without giving up Jalen Tyson, I think, is a huge win. And without having to send out Jared Allen, and certainly you still have Evan here, the level of rim protection when those three guys are in the game. I know we all care about, can a kid shoot 40% on like 7 3-point attempts per game?
Mm-hmm.
Which does matter. That would put him averaging about 22 points a game if he were to be able to do that. However, the defensive implications with having a big wing that can defend, especially at the rim, alongside two already, you know, layered rim protectors in Mobley and Allen. I know nobody gets excited about the defense. The defensive implications are awesome as well.
Well, and so one thing, if we're just going to stay defensively then for a second, one thing that's a little bit different from when people talk about other guys that kind of fit his stature is that his block numbers are insane.
Mm-hmm.
They had 81 blocks last year, averaging over a block a game. Like, he is, his
and that's
block
in
numbers,
50 games.
Yeah, his block numbers are insane. And so, like, that's an added element to this that I think when people think about him, you wouldn't necessarily suspect.
So while we're having this, we also have to address James Harden's contract extension. There are some funny parts about this, like he's only the second NBA player that's above the age of 37 or above that's getting a 3-year contract extension. It's about 3 years, $97 million. The other guy's LeBron James, a little different. I genuinely wonder though whether or not this is going to buy love for Cavs fans who maybe weren't all the way in on Harden, because all of today's wranglings, the last 24 hours wranglings, are because James was very, very, very patient as all the cap space dried up, and he trusted the Cavs to still take care of him after kind of getting the roster right.
Well, and he could have simply taken his $42 million option, and then the Cavs would have been blocked from getting Watson in general. Yeah. And so, like, not just the patience attached to all this, but also the idea he did help out the Cavs in taking a pay cut. And on top of that, I mean, many people will call him the second best player on this team all throughout the offseason. We can debate if it's him or if it's Mobley. It should be Mobley at this point. But the idea that you're having either your second best or third best player on this team for $32 million next year, that's very cap friendly.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Peyton Watson traded to the Cavaliers. Max Strus sent out. Of course, this is on top of the Dennis Schroeder deal that was had. Oh, by the way, Trey Mann was sent to Washington as well for a player that we might never have to know the name of. But how much better did the Cavs get after this this trade and this offseason? Quick hits coming up at 2:40 today. We do have Ty Dunn, founder of Go Long Talkin' Browns Bills Joint Practices. His thoughts on year one of Todd Monken. We've got the Todd Monken presser coming up about the middle of the 3 o'clock hour, probably about 3:30. Jason Lloyd coming up at 4 o'clock today of The Athletic. Talk a little bit of Cavs, a little bit of Browns with him as well. We got to get to some strong takes on this station today about Deshaun Watson, about the quarterback spot. We do have to continue on having the conversation about James Harden's contract extension. And, of course, the Peyton Watson acquisition. And, of course, day baseball, when the Gardos game does go final, will have some sort of reaction to that as well. The lead coming up at 5 o'clock, but 216-474-0092. How much better did the Cavaliers get this offseason? And the word fairness has entered the conversation for the Browns quarterback kerfuffle. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Do you dream of seeing all 30 ballparks? We've got you. For the first time, MLB and T-Mobile offer you a chance to win trips to all 30 stadiums. Yes, all 30. The views, the food, the vibe, the adventure of a lifetime. With experiences you simply need to see to believe. Enter now.
Begin your journey to 30 at MLB.com/journey to 30 sweeps. No purchase necessary. Ends 9/7/2026. Restrictions apply. Food not included. See official rules for details.